Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer, who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. If you have a tip, call them. Save this number. 1-800-22-TIPS. Sorry, I messed that up already. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Live the Web Girl. What do you have today for Murder Monday?
Today, I'm talking about the case that involves the Coleman family. Dad, Chris, who was the head of security for Joyce Mayer, the famous televangelist, his wife, Sherry, and their two sons, Garrett, 11, and Gavin, 9. It's May 5th, 2009, at 6:42 a.m., and Chris Coleman calls his neighbor, Detective Sergeant Justin Barlow of the Columbia Police Department. Chris Coleman asks his neighbor to go to his house to check on his wife and two kids because he cannot reach them and he is still not home from the gym and he's getting nervous. Barlow remembers the threatening messages the family started receiving in November. They'd started with emails that accused evangelist Joyce Mayer of preaching bull crap and threatened not Mayer or her family, but the family of her bodyguard, Chris Coleman. One of them said, "I will kill them all while they sleep."
Wow.
The sender warned. Now letters have been showing up in the Coleman's mailbox. The most recent on April 27th. Closed with, "This is my last warning. Your worst nightmare is about to happen." Detective Barlow calls his co-workers from the police department to meet him at the Coleman residence. When the backup arrives, they notice an open window in the back of the house with a screen missing that goes to the basement. As they move through the house, clearing it along the way, they see messages sprayed on the walls in red spray paint, the color that resembles blood. In the kitchen, it read, "Punished. I am always watching." As they move up the stairs, they see another spray-painted sign on the wall that says, "You have paid." As the cops move into the bedroom, one sees a little boy in bed, half-covered, looking like he's sleeping, except that his skin is grayish and mottled, and his limbs are rigid. Another cop goes into the master bedroom, and they see Chris Coleman's wife, Sherry, also dead. A third cop sees his second son dead in his bed, just like his brother. All three of them were strangled. As the cops come together on the second floor of the house, they decide to give Chris Coleman as little information as possible because they find him suspicious. He has now arrived back at the house and is sobbing in his front yard. They take him in for questioning and notice scratches on his arm and ask him where he got them. He kind of scrambles around and then says he scratched them because he was hitting an ambulance gurney out of frustration after he heard the news that his family was found dead. They start to find him even more suspicious and get information that a family friend that Chris has mentioned during the investigation, Tara Lintz, is more than just that. Chris met Tara Lintz through his wife. Tara and Sherry were best friends at Largo High School in Florida, and they even looked alike. They were pretty, dark hair, and had thin bodies. And Chris tells detectives Tara's personality was the same as Sherry's. She was never pushy about anything. He finally admits to little sexy phone flirtation, but says it was not an affair. He says, "I wouldn't do that to my kids. I've seen too many divorces and stuff." He says he saw Lance at a Joyce Mayer conference in Florida, but doesn't mention that she joined him in conferences in Arizona and Hawaii. Nor does he mention the promise rings they wear when they're together or their talk of marrying in January 2010. When asked about finances, Chris tells the cops, "I make over $100,000 a year. Sherry don't have to work, but she enjoys it, so I let her work." Rather than acknowledge the severity of all of their debts, he mentions a trip that they're planning to take to Disneyland. He doesn't mention that he canceled it and booked a cruise instead to the Virgin Islands with Lance instead. While Chris was being questioned, crime scene technicians scraped flakes of paint off the walls, used a black gel to capture footprint impressions, and bagged miscellaneous items including hair and fibers, two pistols, latex gloves, any shoestring or phone cord that might have been used to strangle the victims, two cell phones, a BlackBerry, and two laptop computers. Now the analysis begins, and almost immediately there's a breakthrough. The threats emailed November 14th to Joyce Mayer and her son Danny Mayer and to her bodyguard Chris Coleman were sent from Chris Coleman's laptop.
Okay, that looks kind of suspicious.
The squad still has no paint can and no paint-scattered clothing or a murder weapon. Then, on a conference call on May 19th, a famous autopsy doctor tells them that Sherry and the boys, Garrett and Gavin, were killed likely before 3 a.m. and definitely before 5 a.m., before Chris had even left the house. The police immediately hang up and arrest Chris Coleman with murder. It's now August and they're still looking for some vital pieces of evidence to get Chris Coleman. Cops start combing through months of charges, and that's when they find something. When we come back, I will tell you what they find and I will dive deeper into the seemingly perfect marriage of Sherry and Chris Coleman.
Talking about the Coleman family today for Murder Monday here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. We're putting photos up right now as we speak. You'll be able to see them if you give us a follow on our Instagram, Radio Now AM Show. All right, Live the Web Girl, you're talking about the Coleman family.
Yes, when I left off, I said that it's now August and they are still looking for some vital pieces of evidence to get Chris Coleman. Cops start combing through months of credit card charges. They notice a purchase for $377 made February 9th, 2009 at a Handyman True Value hardware store. They find out that he bought some spray paint. The spray paint color was Rust-Oleum and Apple Red, the color that was sprayed all over their house the day that his wife and two kids were murdered. As the investigation went on, more and more neighbors and friends of the family were coming forward with disturbing details of Chris and Sherry Coleman's marriage. Everyone said that from the outside, they seemed perfect, but every now and then, Sherry would open up to her peers about the actual despair that went on during their marriage. They got married 3 months after dating because Sherry got pregnant. And Chris was raised in a very religious family. Both his dad and his mom were preachers at a non-denominational Christian church, and they never approved of Sherry, which caused stress on their marriage. Sherry once told a friend how Chris was never affectionate to her and that he never hugged his children either. He was supportive about them with sports, but it never went deeper than that. Sherry even told a friend, "If I die or anything happens to me, Chris did it." Another friend of Sherry remembers of a time when she had mentioned being physically abused by her husband. Not only did they have financial stress, but they were not intimate, which was mentioned by some of the couple's friends. Chris had the secret affair with Sherry's old best friend. So the motive for him to murder his wife and family was all there. All of these testimonies come up in the actual trial. And then there is the most chilling evidence. Photos that show Sherry's naked body lying face down, her head hanging off the edge of a round bed, dark hair tangled across her face, fair skin tinted gray and blotched a dark purplish red on the underside where the blood pool collected after her heart stopped.
Ugh, gross.
In the next photograph, she's been rolled over and her bent leg is mid-air stiff with rigor mortis. Two marks slice red across her neck, probably because she was strangled so stiffly, but she was trying to fight it. She had a black eye, and according to a forensic pathologist, it was caused by direct trauma. The little boys have similar marks on their bodies, and their skin is grayish. One of the investigators said the skin felt thick, like dinosaur skin, at a science center exhibit. Long, dark hair lies across Gavin's armpit, suggesting that he was strangled second and strands of his mother's hair was caught by his body. The violent was intimate and by someone who was close to the victims. DNA was pulled from underneath Sherry's nails. They instantly remembered the scratch marks that were on the forearms of Chris Coleman the morning that his family was found dead, and remember the hesitation in his voice when he tried to come up with an explanation of what happened. There wasn't much DNA to collect underneath her nails, so it couldn't be identically matched to anyone, but they can tell it came from an older male that would match a man just like Chris Coleman. With all of this evidence and all of the motives, Chris Coleman is sentenced to 3 life terms for all 3 murders without the possibility of parole. He remains in jail today and claims to be a changed man. He says he's followed the footsteps of his parents and has started preaching in jail and spreading the word of the Bible.
Seems like everybody does that when they go to jail. They all change their ways and they all start preaching the word.
I'm sorry, but if you can do that to your own wife,
your kids,
your own children, I don't care how much change you have, you need to stay in jail for the rest of your life.
All right, head on over to our Instagram, Radio Now AM Show, and you can see some of the pictures that Liv the Web Girl mentioned. That was Murder Monday here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.